if it's getting to the stage where they're getting grumpy, I mean, everybody kind of knows that horse and where that limit is, you've got to back off. Yeah, because it's better to do 5 good ones than 20 where they're just not in it.
Welcome to the Equine Body Talks podcast. We'll be diving into the equine industry from the lens of a body worker, talking to other equine professionals and discussing scenarios around soft tissue work for all equine athletes. I'm Kim Krebs, your host. I've been working for over 2 decades in this industry as a loper, barn manager, and body worker. With the many horses I've worked with in all of these capacities, it has driven me to want to continually find out the why and the hows of equine biomechanics, health, and performance. To help these athletes achieve their best potential while limiting the wear and tear on their bodies. This podcast is dedicated to opening the conversation around equine wellness, diving deeper into the whole body approach for equine performance horses. The team approach starts with one individual, the owner. They are the ones who build the teams around their horses. So today's guest, we're going to be talking to one of ours, Emma Baldwin. Emma, as you're going to soon find out, is an exceptional owner who we get the privilege to work with. Along with her husband, Kurt, they operate Bar EK Stables by Sundry here in Alberta, offering riding lessons as well as board and rehabilitative care for cases that require extensive work. Emma has a long history of working with horses that goes back to when she was growing up in the UK. And with her keen aptitude for rehab work, she recently attended courses to gain certification as a body worker herself. You won't find many, if any, more dedicated to their horses and clients than Emma. So when we wanted to do a talk around owners and their expectations of body workers, Emma was top of our list. So let's dive in. We had a great conversation with her.
We are going to be talking about our owners and wanting to introduce you to a really good client of InHands, long-term client of InHands as well, Emma Baldwin, who is going to talk to us in regards to the owner's perspective. So thanks so much for coming, Emma.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
I think one of the biggest things about wanting to do this podcast is the whole fact that you have been such a keen client of InHands and you have done the work to a T. Like, you really are our superstar client that we talk about, in that you are dedicated on having the horses in a program and you're very dedicated when it comes to actually doing the exercise and stretching routines afterwards as well. And we see the changes in your horses time and time again as we progress in the program because of the extra work that you also do. So yeah, I just want to commend you for that. But then also ask you, like, what sort of things from an owner's perspective, like, why is that so important to you?
Oh, well, thank you so much for the kind words, because I love doing all my additional stretches and body work for the same reasons you said, where we see the difference as well in our horses every single time. Especially when we can really commit. Sometimes it's a little harder in winter. But the biggest one for me is just that I can see the changes. They're super noticeable, and the way our horses go is everybody comments. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People will see our horses go that don't really even know us and comment about, like, the happiness of them and just how secure they are, and everything they do is done right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. What would you say to people would be some changes, like, if you were going to make a little list of changes for people to look for? Because I think I get that question a lot. Like, what should people look for with changes? You know, sometimes people are so focused on only one aspect. Would you be able to give us kind of a little list?
Oh, yeah. For me, actually, it's a personality change that I noticed the best. Yeah. Definite overall happiness and what they can do, what my horses can do, in a day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big one for me. I mean, I guess you guys look at it posturally, like how they're standing better, maybe this leg's moving here better, but my biggest one is just overall well-being. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Their contentment and happiness,
yeah,
within themselves,
yeah.
And the herd and
yeah,
and their riding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Too, I guess, because you run a very successful teaching program as well with different levels of riders.
Yeah.
And so your horses really need to be on point in terms of safety and feeling their best so that you don't have a potential wreck, not on anybody's fault or the horse's fault even, but if they're in pain or soreness, you know, so.
Yeah, and that's probably where I see it the best is that, yeah, maybe they're not always getting ridden in the ideal posture that we want them to be, but they're always so happy to do their job and they don't have, we don't really ever see any of that sourness that some people will talk about.
Right.
I've never seen that.
Yes. Yeah. Your horse is definitely not a typical lesson horse.
No.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important point to make because you're putting the money into your lesson horses. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, they don't really want to put that extra money into those guys. But would you say that that makes them long-term better teachers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like if I put a lot of money into my horse too, but if I had to pick, I would put it into my lesson horse over my own. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they're the money makers.
Yeah, exactly. And they have a harder job.
Right.
Yeah, they certainly do.
That's, I think it's really overlooked, actually. Yeah, they have a quite hard job.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. Those lesson horses oftentimes are the ones that kind of, oh, well, they're just the older retired dude anyways. They're fine. They know their job. But you're right. They are ridden by so many different individuals. And then, as you say, they're not necessarily always helped in their posture and how to help themselves because of the rider's level. Is there anything you want to tell other owners in terms of, I guess I hear so often from people that are like, oh, well, I'll get you when I start riding, or I'll get you when my show season starts again. As opposed to, I know you, even right now, you're in an off season because of the winter time. But on top of that, with the whole COVID crisis that's going on, and you're still dedicated to those horses and having those horses looked at. And so I think from my perspective, that's something I really admire about you, because you see the validity. And that's the point I'm trying to get across is, what would you say to other owners in terms of don't necessarily see body work as you have to do it only when you're in heavy competition, but that it is a part of their regular routines?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because for me, if I wait till that point, I'm going to be constantly playing catch up to try to get them where they need to be before maybe there's another off season. So if I start before the season or maintain constantly if I can, even if that's just through a stretching program, then they're ready to go when I need them to go.
Right.
Yep. I'm not trying to like catch up and get everything done in a month.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you've done this for quite a few years. Would you say that your school horses are lasting longer, or when you look at your overall program, what benefits are the horses getting out of that long term?
Oh, yeah, I think lasting longer is definitely a big one for sure. Yeah, really able to see them go like 10-ish years.
Yeah, yeah, which is incredible.
Easy. Yeah,
for horses that have already had a career before you get them.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
and that is, most of our horses have done something and maybe are a little bit sore and they really need help, that we can almost get them going on a pain-free like schedule to you.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
What would be realistic for what they want for outcomes when it comes to body work on their horses?
Oh, right, for sure. Yeah, you have to be upfront, I think, about what you can and can't achieve, because I remember my first bodywork session with Tina still, and I left and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to do all those things for my horse. Like, I love her and I definitely wanted to feel great and I'll be out there doing all of these things. And it's not realistic. Like, it really isn't. You have to be true to what you can achieve and say that to your body worker as well. Like, okay, I can only do this 3 times a week if that's what you can do. And there's nothing wrong with that, but be realistic about that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair, because oftentimes when we get called in any case, and we will have to have that conversation, and, you know, me included, in terms of my own horses and where am I at with them. But it's the discussion of how much time do you have to spend on this additional exercise therapy that we may have. If you're wanting to have postural changes, if you're going to do the stretching exercises following your ride, all of these entities that need to come in. But you're right, the realism has to be there, because otherwise we set ourselves up for failure.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think everybody has the greatest intentions. When I listened to your answer there, Emma, that's what it really brought to mind for me, is people have great intentions. They want to do it. We all want to do things at a gold star level. But the realism is important. But I think it's also important to really look at when are you going to be able to get this done and how many days a week? Like, I like how you said that you have 3 days a week. And it's true. When Emma brings a horse to me, she says to me, I have 3 days a week for this particular horse. Tell me what can get done. That is a much different program than if somebody says to me they're going to do something with their horse every day or every second day to be able to actually make a change. And I think, do you find, Emma, that, do you think that that's when people fall off the program, is they maybe didn't totally articulate what they could do to their body worker? So they did receive a program, but they're not seeing the results, because maybe it would be a good program for somebody that was able to do it at a different rate, but they weren't really conscious of what they could do.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. Yeah, like if your program's going to get tailored to what you can do, right? So if you tell someone you're going to do it 7 days a week, but you're only going to do it 3, you're not going to get the change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that makes people really frustrated, don't you, girls? Like, they're putting their time in, or as much time as they have for it, but they're not seeing the difference. And I think that's where people fall off the wagon and say, oh, well, you know, the stretching didn't work or the activations doesn't work. It's because, you know, they didn't have the program tailored to them that they needed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And you just have to be realistic. And if you get halfway through, let's say you're on a monthly schedule and you're 2 weeks and you're like, I can't do this, then just send them a text or call them and say, like I'll call Tina and be like, Kate, I can't do that. Or this particular stretch you've given me, not working.
Right.
Like,
right.
What else can I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great point, to really be reading your horse and the situation to see, like, is it working? Isn't it working? Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a difference? Because these horses should be changing, whether they're a backyard horse that just goes down the road once a week, or if they're a horse in top sport. We need to really be looking at these horses as individuals and what changes are happening, not thinking that, okay, well, it's got to drop back, so the answer is belly lifts, because the answer isn't always that, right? Yeah. So I think that's really important. That's a great point you bring up.
Yeah. And like you said, reading the horse, and then also knowing that you as a individual may not be able to get that activity done, that exercise, activation, stretch, because of limitations you may have. So as you're seeing your body worker do and demonstrate the move that they're going to leave you with, you might be like, oh yeah, no problem, that's easy. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to somebody and they're like, I tried that belly lift, I cannot get that belly to lift up. Like, how do you do it? And of course, now that's a month later or 6 weeks later. So that time has been lost. And if you know, I then go and try it and I'm able to do that without a problem. So it's either technique or maybe it's a physical limitation on part of that owner, individual. And so they'll show me how they're doing it. We may tweak how they have to do it. Or I might say, that's, you know, right, that's not working for you. And that is hard for you to do. So then let's do a different one. So I think having that communication open, though, is always essential. I mean, obviously, it's about opening the conversation, the whole podcast, but it's not being afraid to then send that text or that voice message or whatever it is to your body worker in between them and say, hey, I'm not seeing a difference, or I'm physically not able to do it, or it hurts me, you know, so what else can we do? So, yeah.
And that's a good point. So, Emma, if you were talking to owners out there and being an owner of so many horses yourself, how do you... And I don't know if the right terminology is to be brave enough to ask. Like, I know sometimes I get to a client, like Kim just said, a month later or 6 weeks later, and they say, oh, I didn't want to bug you, or I didn't want to, you know, check in. I just thought it was me. You know, how would you say to owners, or would you give them a little bit of a tip on making sure that question is asked soon enough?
Yeah, well, I think it just comes down to your body worker should care about your horse as much as you do. So if they're not going to get back to you, or you have that kind of guilty feeling inside, maybe you need to look for another body worker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But somebody that you can openly communicate with, because at the end of the day, it's about your horse, not about their time or...
Yeah.
Now, don't send them 100 texts in a minute. But
right.
Don't inundate and give them a little bit of time to get back to you because they may be busy.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I like that thought because I do think some people just don't want to bother, you know? Yeah. And it's not that they don't love their horse, but they just didn't want to bother their body worker or their chiropractor or their veterinarian. So I think that's a great point, Emma, to just make sure that you feel like that communication is open while you have the body worker or veterinarian there so that you do feel comfortable to ask. So that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another point I want to bring up is about the goal setting. So you had talked about, you know, being realistic in terms of what your time frame is. But I think the other part you will need to look at is being realistic. Where is it that you ultimately want to be with that animal at the end of the season or in a year or 2 years? What is the goal that you're working towards? And, you know, maybe that goal will be achieved and you can get to the next goal. And then we have to ramp things up in terms of the exercise program or the bodywork schedule or whatever it might be. But I think really being super concrete in your mind as an owner about what goals you expect, because there's been situations where I've been called in and have been asked to do a session on a horse. And, you know, it's the first horse. They've done all the forms. I've got all the information. And I get there and I'm chatting with them. And they're like, yeah, we're going to the roping or to the dressage test, you know, in a month's time. And the horse has just been pulled out of pasture. And it's like, okay, well, that is not going to be realistic. And there's no way I can give you enough homework after this session to be helpful to the horse, even if you're riding the horse twice a day and we're doing, you know, like that. And again, then your time frame's not going to be realistic in terms of what you can do on a daily basis. So I think that's also a really key point. People have to be realistic about the goals that they expect their horses to be in the ultimate end game.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to my point earlier of start earlier than you want it to be so you can make that goal happen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm kind of blessed in the sense that our course's biggest goal is maybe teaching a rider to lope around the arena. So their physical fitness level doesn't need to be as if you're going to go into an FEI level show. But even for me, this is actually a great point that I will set my goal a little bit lower than where I could maybe achieve to get, just to make that achievable. And I'm not pushing myself for that last little bit in a month's time or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the one horse that we rehabbed this year, our biggest goal was, Kate, let's get on him and let's be able to take him for a great trail ride where he's happy and he's not trying to buck somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
And then did we exceed that? Absolutely. Like, he skyrocketed. But because we set the bar lower, like, smaller steps will get you bigger goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. And make you feel like you have achieved them. And then you have that little, yay, I can keep doing this, instead of the, oh, I didn't get it. And then you feel like a failure and then you give up.
Yeah.
So that's right on point for sure.
And I think all of us need that, not just the handler and the rider, but also the horse.
Yeah.
The horse has to feel like they are winning in this battle. Otherwise, every time you come towards them with, we'll keep going with the belly lift example, you know, they turn around and gnash their teeth and lift their leg up because you're only coming at them three times a week and you want 50 of them.
Right.
Well, I don't know about you girls or any of the gal, anybody that's listening, but, you know, if somebody said to me right now, do 50 sit-ups, well, that's going to be pretty hard to do. And tomorrow it's going to be even worse because I'll be sore, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's such a good point, Emma, to make sure that when you're doing your goal setting, you've got little steps along the way that everybody's getting a win. That's the way that we get excited about things and continue on. So I think that's super.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other small things that you said there, Emma, when you were talking was doing the exercises for the horse. And making sure that you're watching what the horse is doing and not just doing the same exercise because, we'll use the same back example, the horse's back's down, so you're just coming at them every day with belly lifts. How do you, when you're doing the exercises themselves, what would be a couple tips for the listeners for what to watch for with the horse? Like, if as the horse is responding to the exercise, how would you get some feedback for people to realize that, yes, it's working, no, it's not working, maybe we need to reevaluate?
Oh, yeah, that's really great, because I've definitely had times where you've told me, go home and do 20, and I'll be like, Tina, we can only do 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really have to watch the fatigue level
And for me, if it's getting to the stage where they're getting grumpy, I mean, everybody kind of knows their horse and where that limit is. You've got to back off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's better to do 5 good ones than 20 where they're just not in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we could also, if you're lucky enough to have your horse in your backyard, you could also split those up. So yep. If you did 5 in the morning or 5 in the evening. I love that point, Emma, because I think that people, you know, they get told a number and they're getting to that number. Yeah. If we're supposed to do 20, they're doing 20, you know, and I just think that that's such a good point with the exercises that you brought up, that you really need to be watching that.
Well, I think another point to make in regards to this is also the fact that this should be somewhat of a bonding experience for you right. and your horse, you know. So it's a really good time for owners to be able to make that connection with the horse and start to get a better feel for them, because they are going to be more, they need you to be more attuned to their either physical changes that are happening. So whether you see the muscles quivering, whether you see their ears pinning back and their attitude changing, or whether you recognize that they're having so much difficulty with a specific exercise that, you know, they're starting to maybe fall down even, or whatever it might be. So you want to make this a positive too. It is something that, you know, we feel good about in the long term when we get it done. And the horses are the same way. They're going to appreciate that because they're not going to feel the pain once they start to get some of those postural changes. They're going to be much happier. But in the meantime, you have to start getting that bond with them as well. Yeah. So don't push it. You're right. And really being aware of your horse is key.
But I would add to that, like, I have seen some people doing, like, stretching set out for them by their body worker, and I'll be like, you really have to get it done. So if you only think, okay, they can only do 3 reps of it, then make sure they're actually doing what they're meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand what that is, then you need to call your body worker or send them a message and say, I'm not really actually sure what this is meant to look like. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. right, 20 belly lifts where they don't even lift their belly up, you're just scratching the tummy, you're just going to make them angry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really make sure that you understand what the stretch is.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point as well, because I think I've had many clients, and I'm sure Kim's the same, where, you know, you say to them, oh, there's not much change when you come back, and you ask them, are you doing the exercises? And they're like, yeah, I'm doing it every day religious. And then for me, that's the point that Emma just made is crucial, because I say to them, okay, I need to see it then. Because, you know, like Emma just said, maybe the back's not lifting. Maybe they're not doing the thing that you want them to do. And because the exercise is not getting done correctly, you're not getting the changes in the posture, but you're also starting to irritate the horse because they're confused as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point to make, that oftentimes, you know, and the belly lift is the great example, because, you know, people say all the time, oh, he kicks, he does this, he does that. And it is way more about, does the horse understand what he's supposed to be doing? Is the range of motion actually helping him, or is it irritating and just making him angry?
Yeah.
And I guess the next part that would flow right after that point is the exercise appropriate? So I have some people that, you know, you go and you do their body work session, and they've got, let's say, a second horse that you didn't see that day, and they just apply the exercises that you gave them for the first horse to horse number 2, you know, and then oftentimes they'll say to me, oh, this exercise it doesn't work. It's really irritating. It's really this. And it's because it's not the right exercise for that horse. So that's the other thing to think about, is all of these exercises that you see out there, and there's, you know, tons of them to be seen. And I know Kim and I with InHand, we give out all kinds of exercises, sometimes probably too many. It's really important to realize where, you know, what's changing with the horse and if it's the right change that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I think the consistency as well, in terms of setting up a program with your body worker, because as an owner, you know, you're not trained to really necessarily be able to feel or know exactly if those changes are appropriate or not. But it's your body worker or your trainer, you know, who maybe, if you do have a horse in training, that is going to be riding the horse more often as well, that can then tell you, oh, no, this is, you know, we're going backwards, or, you know, we're not feeling any change, or whatever it might be. So really having that that connection as well is going to be important.
Yeah, I think we have kind of, I mean, we've obviously been a client of Enhance for quite a while, so we have our core stretches, and I'll even apply that to training horses that come in that I pretty much get given every time I see Tina. So, but yeah, overall, I wouldn't say that we have one horse that's getting stretched the exact same way as another horse ever.
Yeah. And I think the neat part of that would be, Emma, if you would tell the story about that one chestnut gelding. You know, he came in with, you know, multiple problems for sure. But his big thing was compensation. So you'd go to do an exercise on him. And because he was struggling with his body, but he was such a giver, he would contort his body around to make the exercise happen. And yet he wasn't getting the benefits because he literally was using other parts of his body to be able to compensate.
Oh, yeah. And he's a great example of doing 3 repetitions of it right was so much better for him than 20 of it wrong. But yeah, he was a little 5-year-old cutting gelding that Kim kindly found for us. he did have some neurological issues in the end that we weren't able to get over. But yeah, he was in a program and getting stretched and everything. But when we got him, he totally wasn't using his body right in any shape.
He felt like 3 different horses,
oh,
didn't he?
Yeah.
Head, yeah, it neck, was, behind, yeah. Just different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he couldn't even turn on a forehand without having issues with foot placement. So yeah, it was really important. Then that's a great example of doing small things right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really brilliant, because I think in today's world, we think more is better, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like if we're supposed to do 20, then if we do 35, it'll be way better. And he was a horse that the minute that you were recognizing where his fatigue and where his compensation started coming in, that if you backed it off to that point, he actually really flourished and you got him really sound. And it was through very minute amount of correctly placed exercises that got that done.
Yeah, we were lucky that we were able to do it 3 times a day for him. I'm not sure we would have seen quite the skyrocket if we could have only done it once, which is real life for most people.
But right.
Yeah, it was definitely little and often versus lots constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that the change in him was drastic.
Oh, from huge.
Every, you know, 4 weeks that he was in a program to have the body work done, it was a constant buildup of change. Like, but it, you're right, that there's that factor, your time factor involved.
Yeah.
That's why in 4 weeks' time you saw such immense change in this horse, was because you did it 3 times a day, for 7 days a week too, right? It wasn't that there was a break with that guy. Mm-hmm. He really flourished with it. But I think that's maybe something also we need to talk about, is you get the flourish and you're all the yays, but then you get a setback. And what do you do when you get that setback, right? Like, how does that make you feel? What do you need to talk to, or what do you feel you should bring up to your body worker when those sort of things happen?
Oh, and it's going to happen. I don't think we've had a horse that's gone straight up since we've gotten them. There's definitely been downs, and it is so draining, especially if you've been out there 7 days, you've been like, I am committed, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then you go to your body worker and you're like, oh, this isn't good, this is sore. And you're like, oh my goodness, I am giving it everything. But it isn't, nothing in life is straight up, right? So you are going to get those setbacks. And as long as your setback isn't further back than where you started, you are doing the right thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, totally. Yeah. And I love that point, Emma, because I think sometimes too we see those plateaus, and sometimes to break through to the next level, and it'll be a big step up after a plateau, but trying to get through that plateau is the hardest time to keep doing exercises, because it's not changing. People know, anybody that's been through fitness themselves in their own body will know the same thing. You know, you're doing the work, you're putting the time in, and it's just not changing. Like, what would your, you know, other than the just keep at it kind of thought process, Emma, what would you say to owners when they're in that plateau? Because you've been through it many times with multiple horses where you've seen that plateau. You know, if you were going to give them some encouragement, what would you say to people?
Yeah, so I start with, I'll just take pictures on my phone so I can compare, because there will always be a change, even if it could be so minor. But if you go back and look and think, oh my goodness, 2 months ago I was here. Now I'm here. Like, this is a change. Maybe we're just, we're in a plateau spot right now. I went through that in physio, and it's so frustrating. You're like, I am doing everything I can. My biggest one is just find something positive about it, because there will always be a positive even if you haven't taken the great big leap yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you find too, after the plateau, that there is a bigger step up than, you know, in the end, if you drew a graph, the plateau being flat, that the step up that you take after that might have been the same as a really slow progression upwards? Like, do you find that after most plateaus, you get a pretty good step up?
Yeah, absolutely. My biggest thing is making sure, like, we've never plateaued for longer than a month.
Yeah,
so
good
I would
point.
Have a timeline in my mind where I'm like, okay, didn't see a ton of change here, but if I was 3 months in and not seeing a change, I need to maybe involve somebody else or really look at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you do have those moments where it's like, oh, is this working? Mm-hmm. But then yeah, in a month's time, you're like, oh yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. And that's such a good thing to say, Emma, about the time frame of that plateau, to make sure that you're not letting it drag on and doing the same exercises with no change, that you really do then need to look into something if the horse needs other team members or any other help for some reason. Yeah. So that's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it can be something that is, everything is going right from a bodywork perspective, the exercise perspective, but like you say, the plateau is there. Maybe now we're looking at a nutritional change or need that needs to happen. Maybe there is a little bit of pain management that we need to have evaluated and dealt with to get us up over that next little hump. So that's where we talk about then our other team members, which is a huge component. I think so many people, we get into a rut of feeling like, well, this is who I use. This is my person. And they've probably done wonderful things for your horses. But it's not always about one individual. And I think, you know, I'm the first one. I know Tina's talked about it tons and tons as well. And you use multiple team members for your horses.
Yep.
But it is such a team approach. You know, we can't come in here with an ego that won't even let us get through the door because our heads are so big and think that we're going to fix every horse that comes through the door. You're not. You have your aspect that you're going to help with as a body worker, but, you know, there's other parts that need to come in for that horse to achieve, you know, the best changes that it can.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think, too, just to add to your point, Kim, that sometimes it's not even that you need somebody else. Like, I get called in lots where a body worker's been working on this horse, and I'm thinking of an example I did last week, been working on this horse for a long time. They just needed a fresh set of eyes because they've been working on the horse so long. The rider's been the same rider and excellent rider, excellent body worker. But just to have somebody else in that you can mentor with or have a community with.
Yes.
Where you can say, you know, come and look at this horse with me because, you know, we're in this long-term plateau. We need this next level. We just can't get through it. So it might not even be that you need, let's say you're using a vet and a veterinary chiropractor and a body worker. It might not even be that you have the wrong people. It might just be that you just need that fresh set of eyes to be able to say, oh, well, you know, I know you guys have been focusing on the back end, but like for me, we ought to change this shoulder or whatever it is, you know? So I think that's a great point that, that, you know, can come from that as well, to realize that just because you have somebody on your list and you've kind of checked that box off doesn't mean that maybe that person doesn't work with somebody that they would call in, or you could have a second opinion, to really see something that maybe you've glossed over just because you've been, you know, working on that horse for so long.
Yeah.
And that's a great point about the plateau as well. Like even for us, if we see a horse start to plateau, we'll pick one thing and think, okay, this is what I'm going to change. And it might be so simple as when they side pass, I just want a bigger reach. And I'll just pick that and be like, okay, just change that then, because maybe the body isn't ready to take that next leap and make all these changes. So fix one thing. Again, small step will get you the bigger goal in the end.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Great point.
Mm-hmm. And I think the communication again, too, between all of your team members, it needs to happen as well, so that the horse is the one that needs to be able to benefit from this. And it's not about just choosing individuals. It's about building that community and really getting the full value of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We wouldn't make half the changes we do if we didn't have the team that we do. Like, at the end of the day, are we the ones out there stretching and doing the exercise programs? Absolutely. But if we didn't have the team, then we wouldn't make change.
No, but I think that's the thing. The owners need to recognize they are such a huge part of that team.
Yeah, they are on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think some owners don't think they are. I think they're hiring, you know, their vet and their body worker and their veterinary chiro and their saddle fitter and their farrier. And they, and I love Emma's point, and to circle back to Kim's point, where, you know, they are part of the team. They have, you have to see yourself as part of the team. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to make the changes we need to make.
No. Well, you're the head of the team.
Yeah, you are.
You're the one that's making all of those decisions.
Right,
And then make sure that everybody underneath you has the same goal.
Yes, good point. Yeah. Same goal.
I guess we can't negate the fact that horses are going to eat out of your pocketbook.
Yes. Good one. Great time to go next.
How do you deal with the costs involved? Because, yeah, it's not a cheap endeavor to have horses by any means. But then on top of it, when you go past your, quote, basic farrier and veterinary quotas, you know, having the teeth done and all that kind of stuff, and you add in now body work.
I mean, yeah, they're expensive, and it is kind of what it is. For me, this goes a little bit more to the rehab horses that we've done, but I definitely set a budget in my head if that I am comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And it has to be realistic. Don't tell yourself you've got $100 and you're going to change it, because it's not going to happen. But be realistic about what you can and can't afford to do. Be upfront about it. If you say to your body worker, I can only afford to do every other month, that's what you can afford to do, and they shouldn't judge you for that in any way. I kind of have like check-in points with myself where I've got to financially, especially in the rehab stuff, to make sure it is still going in the right direction. I have a big one right around the 50% mark of where I'm comfortable with my overall spending, just to make sure that I have seen tangible changes in that horse, or else I kind of have to either look into something else or start having a realistic conversation about, are we actually going to make a change, or is this money just, I might as well go and light it on fire.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And when you look at that program and you're saying to yourself, okay, I have a specific amount of budget, I loved how you said, you know, you have to be honest with your body worker. If it's every second month, that's no big deal. Your body worker should be able to then get you a home care program that allows you to still keep walking up that mountain, still making changes with that horse, even though, you know, they're only going to see it again in 8 weeks, or if it's 3 months, or whatever it is. Because I think that is really important, because if you don't feel like you have the home care program to keep going, I think you can feel pretty lost pretty fast.
Oh, really fast. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So just, again, be upfront. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, circling back to the communication.
Right.
You know, if you have to go that longer stretch without having a body work because that's what fits your budget, be aware that your body worker is very much wanting to still see you succeed, you know, and they don't just show up for the session, do their little check, worked on that horse, and out the backyard they go. You know, they really do want to see both you and your horse succeed, because it's good business for them too, really, realistically. If they start to see change, they're going to have you come back, right? So they want to have that connection with you as well, and have that communication open.
Yeah. And if they don't have those skills, and you really like that person's work, or if they're just starting out and they don't have those skills, ask them if they mentor with somebody. Ask them if they can bring in their mentor and be able to get that horse on a program. Doesn't mean that they're not the right body worker for you, you know.
Right.
You could really say to them, you know, I'm really, you're enthusiastic, you're starting out, I like your work, but, you know, do you have anybody that you could work with that could help us with this overall program? Because, of course, for some of us that have been doing this for, you know, half of their lifetime, it seems innate. And yet when you have people that are just coming out into the body work field, they might not have all those skills. Yeah. And again, doesn't mean that they have to lose that client or you have to lose that body worker. But I think that asking them about having someone come in that they mentor with and that can help you will help them, will help that body worker too that's learning, right? Mm-hmm. It'll help them grow. And then, you know, the whole community is growing together and the horse is getting better. Because I think we're all in this for the horse, right? We're all here. We're all surrounding this horse. We just have to make sure that the horse is getting what it needs to get in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think if you start spending money that you're really struggling to try and afford to do this, let's say you think, oh my God, I have to do it monthly and it's such a struggle for you, you're going to learn to not enjoy it.
As right. Well. Good point.
Because it has to be fun for you or you won't make the changes.
Right. Because what's going to inspire you when it's minus 25 outside and you got to, you know, be the Michelin man to be able to get out there to do your 15 minutes of stretches. So yeah, good point. That's a great point.
Having other people around to support you. So not only is it something that you as an owner want to be able to go in and have this exercise program set out and you're gung-ho, but in conjunction with your goals, in conjunction with your realistic outcomes that you can do on a daily basis, having other people support you. So whether that be even somebody else in the barn, you know, one of the lopers or the barn hands that maybe say, hey, yeah, I can easily, you know, as I'm in their stall cleaning, I can do some belly lifts for you or whatever it might be. Yep. I mean, you set it up, but having other people, there to help support you in your endeavors as well is also important. You have somebody very key on your support team.
Well, I'm pretty blessed to have a husband that's out there doing it with me every day too. And I know that that's not real life for everybody, but I don't. When you have that bad day or you think, oh my goodness, like I have done this 100 times and it's nothing's changing. Like he'll step in and be like, yes, it is. Like, look at this. Or he could take over and do it for 3 days. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, look at that. That is different. Mm-hmm. Because you just get so kind of like what Tina said earlier. You're so caught in the moment. You don't notice maybe the millimeter of change that is going to be life changing. So in simple things, right? Like he could get on a horse and I'll get on and be like, oh my goodness, yeah, the lateral work is better. You're right. Like everything is coming together, but have that person. Yeah. And if it's somebody at the barn, then it could be like, oh, your horse was not moving like that last week. Like, look how much better they move. Look how much extension they have now. Like just to keep, because it keeps you on track and it keeps you going and then you feel better because you're not going to notice the slightest change.
Yeah.
Yep.
So sometimes it's having eyes on the horse to help give you the rah-rah, you're doing a good job and I can see the change, helping maybe video the change. So, you know, pointing those things out, but also having the other, an individual there to help support you in the actual exercise program or the work that needs to be done as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think that'll take us right back to one of Emma's early points about taking pictures, you know, making sure, because sometimes, you know, you've seen the horse every day for so long and, you know, you really don't see a difference. And if your husband or significant other is not horsey, you know, you could just sit down with them and say, does this picture look any different than the next picture, you know, and lament a little bit, is this changing? I think the trainer comes into focus there as well, even if you don't ride with somebody regularly, so that they can see the difference is really good. But the other thing that, you know, you're already paying for is make sure that you get that body work feedback. Right. So when the horse comes back to the next body work session, say if your body worker isn't quite as good as at articulating what they've seen changed, make sure that you really say to them, okay, you know, what has changed with this horse? Like, I mean, I know there's still stuff, and I mean, I work on Olympic level horses and there's still stuff. There's always stuff, right? But some body workers, I know it's really easy to focus on what is sore and what still needs to change instead of taking that step back and going, you've done a great job with this. You've done a great job with this. Now our focus just shifts a little bit to this, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a dressage rider and there's lots of sports out there like dressage, but sometimes it's like you make it to the next level and we forget how hard and how much work we put into doing level one. Mm-hmm. And now we're at level two and we're like, yeah, you know, like I'm, and then you're just always fighting to get to that next level. And none of us ever turn around and go, oh yeah, I couldn't even rise the trot, or oh yeah, he couldn't do side pass, or oh yeah, he couldn't do this and couldn't do that. So those kind of feedback things, I love that, you know, Emma's super lucky, as am I, and I think Kim is as well, that we all three have husbands that are horsey and they're into helping and that kind of stuff. But even if you don't have that in your life, you can set that up with somebody, being a trainer, another good friend. You know, you could even just ask another rider at your barn to be able to say, you know, what do you see that's different? Yeah. I mean, somebody that you trust, obviously, but to be able to get that feedback. But I think, you know, setting yourself up so that you can recognize those is what's going to keep you excited about it. Because I know for me, having Emma as a client for so long, I love when she comes because she's a shoot from the hip kind of gal, which is great. And she, I just say to her, what's changed? And she can say, bah, 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 okay? And then the two of us can go, okay, so those things have changed, fantastic. What's not changing, you know? And she's got that list. And then we can break it down and we can really say, okay, excellent. We've got this win, this win, this win. Now we're heading in this direction and making sure that you're, you know, that you have that opportunity to have that good feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's just so daunting, right? If you just go out there by yourself every day, you're like, I have to do this. This is what's going to make the change. And you just don't have somebody else to communicate with, like in that month time or however long your time is between sessions. For me, I think if I didn't have that kind of communication with somebody else, I would probably get put off pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, even that just says if you don't have that in place and you have a horse with a project, or even if you have a horse in sport that, you know, is maybe not a project, but you would like to change some things, get that support.
Yeah.
Like set it up for yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're really able to get those, to see those wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, it's going to set you up for success.
Yeah,
when you have
and
that support
horse.
And your horse, ultimately. Yeah. How is it that you make this work for you? Because I know you guys have come up with some innovative ideas. You know, you have a herd of horses that you guys work diligently on as mm-hmm. well. It's not like you have one horse that you're doing this with. You have multiple horses you're doing this with, and as well as running a business, as well as living a life,
right.
et cetera. And so, you know, you do really need to set that up so that you can make it work.
Right.
And so what sort of things can you share that that have worked for you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So right now we have a couple little stifle guys that need some help. So doing pole work for them is a big one. So we have poles set up underneath. It's actually an enclosed area they have to walk through to get to the water. So they're constantly doing their pole work. It's just one less thing that I have to go out and kind of do, quote unquote.
Physically
right?
It's, lead
yeah,
across,
like
they're
doing it themselves every day, all day. Like, mm-hmm. So, and that's a big thing for me is just making that program, if you can in some way, work for you where you don't have to do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one horse and he really needed to transverse hills. So we put him in a pasture where he had to transverse hills.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably, that's not for everybody, but it's a big part for me of just making it work. Because if it's one less thing I have to do, that overall goal becomes so much more achievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it may not necessarily be the ideal, quote, situation in terms of them, you handling them and transversing that hill very specifically to achieve a goal. But at the same time, they're still getting that hill work.
Yeah.
They're still getting some other than just the flat work that's not working for their body. So I think that's a great point as well.
Yes. And I think if they can incorporate that in, then it's one extra less stretch that you do. So it's one less,
yeah.
You know, then you've got more time to do this extra stretch.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. So really it has to work for you. It has to fit into your life, into your program. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, like Emma said, if you don't have that at your facility or you're boarding at somebody's facility, take a look around. Like I've got a couple clients that I'm thinking of as Emma was talking there. Their horse is just in a flat paddock beside the barn, but there is a pretty good incline at this one barn I'm thinking of. So when they bring their horse in, instead of just walking straight into the barn, they take the extra 6 minutes and they go and they do that loop, right? And then when they turn them out, they do the same thing. And it might seem like, oh, big deal, 10 steps on the incline. Mm-hmm. But every time your muscle fires, you are making change, right?
Yep.
So I love that thought to really just look around and see what your stable or your own farm or wherever you keep your horse has available for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there is a little incline that you can zip over to. Maybe there's a little hill that you could transverse and see if there could be some, you know, some work done for you.
Yep.
That then you don't have to physically do. But like you were just saying, sometimes everything just doesn't fit in, right? And trying to
yep.
make sure that as we're working, we're getting as much in as possible in the time frame that you have at the barn, right? The other thing that I know that you do, I know you do some of your exercises when you're grooming. So can you tell us a little bit about that regime and how you kind of fit in, you know, because all of us are grooming, but maybe if we could be doing a few exercises at the same time.
Oh my goodness, that's how I get it done as well. I'm grooming. Because I don't bring them in, scratch them, and then start grooming. Like, for me, I gotta be grooming and doing it, so you know I can use my curry comb and do my belly lifts at the same time. When I pick the feed, I can start doing the stretches right there. That is, for me, how I do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've kind of made a little regime for yourself that works, and then, you know, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was living pasture, so there I kind of more ideally warmed up when they come in. I mean, if you come out of a stall, you might want to do some walking before you do that. But yeah, that is how I fit it in.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I think that's brilliant when you and I talked about that, because I do that with my own horse as well. You know, a couple strokes on the neck, a little bit of neck dance, mm-hmm. couple strokes on the shoulder, some wither rocks, you know, like, and then that way it becomes innate. And the exercises are getting done, and really you can get your time frames tight enough, especially because some people, even with the COVID restrictions, are only allowed at the barn for a certain amount of time, right? Yeah. So that's, I think, just absolutely fantastic.
You know, if you have a day and you think, oh my goodness, today I just want to go sit on my horse, ride around bareback, I don't want to stretch them, this is what I want to do. Don't feel guilty about that. Like, it's okay to take that time and just do what you need to do, because it's also meant to be fun for you as well. You know, if you think, oh, I'm meant to be there today, it's Sunday, but I really want to go hiking, go do that. Yeah, that's a big one for me, especially on our rehab horses, is that if we need a day off, take the day.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And I think Kim can speak to this a little bit too with her one horse that we were working so hard on. It's sometimes you get off the wagon, you know? Mm-hmm. And then if you miss a day, for some reason in our brains, we go, well, I've missed a day. How am I going to make that up? And then if you miss 2 days, oh, well, now I'm terrible. I'm a bad owner. I'm a bad human. I missed 2 days. And then you miss a third day, you know? And then it starts getting to the point, and I've had many clients say this to me, well, you know, I could only do them 2 days last week, so I didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, and life gets in the way. Like, life just is life, right? And we have to remember that it's better to do something than nothing, right? So do you want to speak on that a little bit, Kim? You know, when you were working on your horse and then there was a time you had to take off.
Yeah. So I've had this over the last couple of years where both my older horses have had periods of great gung-ho and we've made significant change and I've been so excited. And then the situation comes up where, like last year, you know, COVID hit, you know, you kind of, that took the sails out of everybody. And so then you kind of, I'm not geared up now towards anything because there's not going to be any shows. Well, then the shows did start to go. So it's like, oh, okay, well then let's get back on the bandwagon and get hard at it again. And so you do have the peaks and the valleys, and my horses for sure have had that. I've had a situation where, you know, right in the middle of show season, the horses were doing really well, and then my mom passed away, and of course everything came to a stop and I was gone, and I literally had physically was away from my horses for over a month. And so in that case, you know, they fell right back down to point zero, and we had to slowly build them back up again. Have I had guilt over it? I certainly have, you know, especially being the body worker, preaching what I preach in terms of the work that I strongly believe in, but then maybe not always being able to follow through with my own horses. And so, yeah, it's tough, but it also, like you say, every time I get back into the barn and I do the simple exercises with them, then, you know, we go at it. I haven't been able to ride for the last month just because of the regulations that are going in, and I do have to haul my horses into a facility, which is currently against restrictions here. And so we haven't rode, but, you know, it's been about having to then just make that effort to, okay, even though that's a huge disappointment, you know, I really wanted to be riding and I can't be riding outside. It's too icy in our area. So yeah, it's about when I am able to, and I recognize that with work right now, it's not possible to be out there 7 days a week. So I'm going to set myself up that I do it, you know, however many times, 3-4 times a week, as I bring them in, take their blankets off, you know, even if they don't get the full on curry, but they certainly are going to have, you know, a little bit of wither rock or a little bit, some tail pulls or whatever it might be. It's just starting somewhere and recognizing that, like you said, Tina, every little thing does help, you know, even if it is once a week, if that's what is within your structure right now. But it's very important to keep it as a priority.
Yeah, totally. I agree.
And that just goes back to my point. If you do have to take that time, don't feel guilty about it. Just come back and start from where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to bring that back to the horse. You don't want to bring that guilt and, oh, I wasn't here. And,
that
you know.
Negative vibe for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You won't get any change.
Well, Emma, I got to say, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. You are what we're going to deem as our ideal client. So you do get that badge to wear around for sure. Where could people, if people did want to learn about riding and learn about your program, where can people learn about you and Kurt?
So we are Bar EK Stables, and I'm on Facebook. We don't have a web page right now, or somebody can just send me a message on either Facebook, Emma Baldwin. And yeah, I'd love to have people. We do specialize mostly in beginner intermediate riders that are really wanting to style and get a good solid foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think is really missing in a lot of the riding programs out there. So I think Emma's riding program is absolutely phenomenal because not only do you get to get in the saddle, but you get to learn all the other parts of horses, which is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's our biggest focus. Thank you guys.
That was just so awesome. I love having conversations with Emma. She's so down to earth, and as Tina mentioned, tells it as it is. So you always have an honest answer, which is so appreciated. As a body worker, I need to understand what area she feels or doesn't feel changes in after each session so we can figure out how to make the sessions most effective for her horses so that they can progress. And as you heard, her and Kurt are all in, applying the take-home exercises and stretches to the horses to gain the full effect of the bodywork sessions. We can't recommend her enough for those interested in riding lessons, or if you have a horse that requires an extensive exercise program you might not be able to facilitate. Emma works closely with vets and other team members to get the consistent program done that's needed to bring a horse back. In fact, in the next episode, Tina's going to have a further talk with her in regards to a specific case, a gelding that had kissing spine, who had originally been written off and now they have seen extensive improvement with. So I'm not going to give any more away on that, but definitely a case study you're not going to want to miss listening to. So if you want to connect with Emma, you can go on their social media, so either Instagram or Facebook at Bar EK Stables, and connect through there. Send her a private message at Emma Baldwin. As we say, just can't thank her enough for the conversation for today, as well as just being the fabulous human beings that both her and Kurt are, and the care that they give their many horses. And as always, we would love to hear from you as well, so connect with us through our social media accounts at Equine Body Talks. Thank you for listening to the episode. I appreciate each rating and review you can give to help grow this podcast, and ask that you please share it on social media and with your friends. Reach out to the social media pages on Facebook and Instagram under Equine Body Talks to know about upcoming episodes and to connect with me if you have areas you'd like to have discussed or guests you'd like to listen to. All of our episodes can be found on my website at KrebsEquine.com and our Equine Body Talks YouTube channel. Remember to always be an advocate for your horse and not be afraid to open the conversation around your horse's wellness team.